The first reading is taken from Leviticus 24, verses 10 to 23. Now the son of an Israelite mother and an Egyptian father went out among the Israelites, and a fight broke out in the camp between him and an Israelite. The son of the Israelite woman used a name blasphemously with a curse, so they brought him to Moses. His mother's name was Shulamite, the daughter of Dibri the Danite. They put him in custody until the will of the Lord should be made clear to them. Then the Lord said to Moses, take the blasphemer outside the camp. All those who heard him are to lay their hands on his head, and the entire assembly is to stone him. So the Israelite, anyone who curses their God will be held responsible. Anyone who uses the name of the Lord blasphemously is to be put to death. The entire assembly must stone them, whether foreigner or native born. When they use the name blasphemously, they are to be put to death. Anyone who takes the life of a human being is to be put to death. Anyone who takes the life of someone's animal must make restitution. Life for life, anyone who injures their neighbor is to be injured in the same manner. Fracture for fracture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. The one who has inflicted the injury must suffer the same injury. Whoever kills an animal must make restitution, but whoever kills a human being is to be put to death. You are to have the same law for the foreigner and the native born. I am the Lord your God. Then Moses spoke to the Israelites, and they took the blasphemer outside the camp and stoned him. The Israelite did as the Lord commanded Moses.
The second part of the reading comes from Mark 14, verses 55 to 64. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death, but they did not find any. Many testified falsely against him, but their statements did not agree. Then some stood up and gave this false testament against him. We heard him say, I will destroy this temple made with human hands, and in 3 days will build another not made with hands. Yet even when their testimony did not agree. Then the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus, are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you? But Jesus remained silent and gave no answer. Again the high priest asked him, are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One? I am, said Jesus, and you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. The high priest tore his clothes. Why do you need any more witnesses, he asked. You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? They are all condemned as worthy of death.
I'm going to start with a little quiz. Who knows the first few of the Ten Commandments? Who knows what the first one of the Ten Commandments is? This is a tough test, isn't it? Thou shalt not kill. No. What's the first one? The Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall worship no other gods but me. Okay, that's the first one. Number two. Here's a test. Yeah. Slightly harder, actually, isn't it? No, not honour your mother and father. No, that comes later on. It's you shall not make an idol. You shall not make a graven image. Okay? And the third one, which we've just been talking about, blaspheming. Okay, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Some churches, you'll find they've got them written up, actually, so that's easy then, isn't it? Did we used to have that or not? No, never here. But other churches you go into, particularly Victorian ones, you'll see the Ten Commandments written up, so then you don't have to remember them. But it's a bit of a test, isn't it? The first one, you shall worship only the Lord your God, no other gods. Second one, not making any graven image or any idol. The third one, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Or in the modern Bibles, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Have you heard that recently? Somebody saying, Jesus Christ. Or even, oh my God, OMG. Do you ever hear that? It happens, doesn't it? And that's what it's talking about. And if you actually stop people and say, do you know what you just did? You just broke one of the Ten Commandments. I bet you they'll probably say, oh no, no, I didn't mean it. It's just an exclamation, isn't it? It meant nothing. But actually, that's the point. That's the problem, that it was just casually said, God's name being used as a throwaway line. Imagine, Andrew and Joy will know about this, imagine you're standing in an airport security queue and you just casually joke that you've got a bomb in your luggage. You know how that's going to go down, don't you? You'll be taken on one side, you might even be locked up and charged. There are some phrases that you can't joke about. And if you try, if you say, oh, I thought it'd be fun, bit of banter. If you try joking about it, then you put yourself in a different category, a different place. Because those phrases are intrinsically serious. And just saying them puts you in a different place and causes people to take action. Shouting, fire, used to be another one, didn't it? Well, it still is, actually. Or in the old days, crying wolf. Wolf, there's a wolf at the door. Now, okay, that's not a danger very often, but we've still got the phrase, haven't we? Crying wolf. Don't cry wolf. Because there was a time when that was a real danger and when people really would take action. Another one that's very relevant today is accusing someone of rape or of molesting a child. Again, don't make a joke about it, because the moment you do that, even if you're drunk in the pub at night, people get hauled off and questioned and charged and so on. If you later claim, oh, it was just a joke, then at the very least, your reputation gets a downgrade. So what's the problem with blasphemy then? Well, it's using the name of God as a throwaway, a casual exclamation, or even a curse. And the point is that the name of God is precious, valuable, holy. In the Old Testament, you were not allowed to say it out loud. You had to use a circumlocution, another way of speaking instead. You had to talk about the Lord, Adonai, instead of actually using God's name, Yahweh. You weren't allowed to say that word. It would be a little bit like, I don't know, burning a flag. Occasionally you see that, don't you, in the news. People burned the flag. And that has a significance, doesn't it? People say, oh, wow, that's disrespectful. Or if you were to stamp on a picture of the Queen, again, that would be disrespectful, wouldn't it? Using God's name as a casual exclamation is a deliberate disrespect. And it's deliberate because you've chosen God's name rather than saying bother or sausages or whatever else you might say. Actually, even crude words are not as bad as blasphemy. The F word, the B word, the C word. They're not nice or pretty, granted. It's not a classy thing to throw those words around all the time. But they're not blasphemy. They're a different problem. They're dirty talk. They're rude. But they're not more than that. Blasphemy takes the precious name of God and uses it as a throwaway line. And if you do that, what you're doing is you're revealing what you think of God, the way that you treat him. as a throwaway. That first reading that Helen read from Leviticus, it's not one that we read very often, I know, but it's a story, isn't it? That in the middle of a fight between two men, in the heat of the moment, a young man blasphemes. He uses God's name as a curse. And at that moment, the moment he says that, everyone freezes. And he's arrested, taken into custody. And what are they going to do? Moses asks God what the proper punishment is. And the answer, shockingly, the answer is the death penalty. I think it's probably that, like cancer treatment, blasphemy has to be utterly destroyed. There's no half measures. God's name is to be held in the highest regard. And that principle held firm right through thousands of years of scripture, right through to the time of Jesus, well over 1,000 years later. What crime was Jesus accused of? Well, you might have spotted it in the second reading there. What was he charged with? Blasphemy. That was the strongest, clearest crime in the Jewish law. And still today there are cultures where religion holds power, cultures like Pakistan, where people are accused of blasphemy, criminalized with that charge. Often it's just to take revenge on someone, maybe against Christians like Asiya Bibi, you've probably seen her name in the news. And it was the charge against Jesus himself, blasphemy, and the penalty was death. You heard Harry's example, the lady in the, where was she? The petrol station, yeah. And she said, yeah.
Just as a natural thing,
she
probably says every 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah. Oh God.
Yeah. And I said, yeah, it'll be there with us this morning.
Lovely. That's one nice way to respond, isn't it, actually? To take it seriously. It is tricky to know how to respond, actually. Because sometimes you come across as a bit weird if you actually sort of take people to task for it. I think the best tactic is exactly as Harry did, to broadcast that God's name is precious to you, that the name of Jesus is wonderful and lovely, and to be revered and respected. But it's not easy to handle, actually, is it? The Samaritans, you know, the phone-in charity, was started by a vicar, Chad Verar. But the Samaritans is now avowedly non-religious. Volunteers are not allowed to use religious language. They're not allowed to speak to a caller about religion, unless, of course, the caller asks the question or raises the subject first. And they actually, the Samaritans, have very, very good training in listening skills and so on. I benefited a great deal from that. But in the middle of the training, I remember very clearly the trainers, one of them blasphemed. Oh my God, Jesus Christ. And I just said, aren't you going against this, you know, this principle that we don't use religious language? And they didn't really know what I meant. They said, what do you mean? I said, look, you just said, oh my God, you know. Oh, they denied it. No, that's not religious language. That was just a casual exclamation. Everybody does that. That's not religious language. But that's exactly the problem. It's casual. It's downgrading God and the name of God and the language about God. We had to agree to differ in the end. They just didn't get it. They had no concept of anyone valuing God or Jesus himself. So what I pray is maybe there are people here today actually who have trouble with that, who are used to using phrases like OMG, just casually. It's a thing today, isn't it? If that's you, or if you know somebody like that, then just pray. Pray for forgiveness, pray that the Lord will help you to change, because he is a God who forgives. And if you know people like that, or if you hear it around you in colleagues or family or friends, well, you could take a leaf out of Harry's book, couldn't you? Say, yes, he is here. Yes, we do worship him. Let's just pray that the Lord would guide us and lead us to be good witnesses for him. Father, we love your name. We bless you, and we worship your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that your name, the name of God, the name of Jesus, the Spirit of God, would be honoured on our lips, in our families and among our friends, and in our culture. In Jesus' name, amen.
In response to that, as it's going through your mind, take yourself back to the situations that you've been in, whether it be in a workplace, walking down the street, and you've actually heard this. I've experienced this quite a lot in my trade. I'm a carpenter. Being on a building site, there's a lot of blaspheming, I can assure you. There's a lot of swearing and everything like that. And since I've become a Christian, I've found that harder and harder to deal with. But the people around me have noticed a change. And I think that is the most important thing. We change. People take notice of us because we've changed. Because I was amongst them. I was in the middle of them. And now I've taken myself away from them. And now when they use the good Lord's name to blaspheme, they apologise to me. It's not an apology to me, I want. It's an apology to Jesus, because they're using his name in vain. And it's done in such a way that, as Ian was explaining, there's a lack of understanding of what Jesus can bring to our lives. And that's what's so hurtful.